I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, the business technology show, which is brought to you today by Iris Network Systems. And on this chilly Johannesburg morning in June, I'm pleased to welcome into our studio Alan Kemp, director of Iris, for what I'm sure is going to be a very interesting discussion on network monitoring and network management in the South African context. Alan, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Duncan.
So, Iris, tell me a little bit about the company. It was founded 14 years ago in Cape Town, I believe.
That is correct, yeah. What to tell? It's, we do network monitoring, and we look at the large-scale carrier-grade networks and look at all the network infrastructure and monitor those networks for our customers.
Okay, so we're talking about clients here. We're talking about internet service providers, telecommunications
operators. Correct, yeah. Carriers, operators, fixed network operators, ISPs, that kind of thing.
Okay, and corporate networks?
Yes, to a degree. Because we grew up in the ISP space in South Africa, most of our clients are ISPs, but we are entering into the corporate space, because actually most corporates these days are big enough to be almost call themselves ISPs.
Yeah.
They have big networks, large devices, and things like that, and they can use Iris to monitor and manage that network.
Right. So tell me a bit about your background. I believe you were involved in the early days of Internet Africa.
That is correct, yeah. I started my career at Internet Africa back in 96, 97.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had interest in computers and networks, and in those days the internet was like, well, the Wild West.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, and we had a lot of fun there, and that's where we started at Internet Africa, and eventually we got bought out by other companies and became we were pulled out by American companies, and just went through it like that.
Yeah, yeah. And your career's taken you through a number of major players in the South African ISP market.
Yes, yeah. So we started with Internet Africa. We then were bought out by Unit Cameron Board, and then MCI WorldCom, and then eventually Verizon Wireless, and then I think eventually MTN. I'd left before MTN bought them out. But and then I went into Internet Solutions. And
okay.
Yeah, so it's been a nice career in the space, and I suppose that's where kind of Iris came. The ideas of Iris came from is working in these companies and trying to figure out solve problems in that kind of ISP space. And
So who was the company's first client?
The first client was Tenet.
The
tertiary education network was our first client, and it's like so amazing. Like when you start the company and you don't. You don't know if it's going to be received by clients. You don't know if what you're doing is actually going to work, and all these unknowns are happening. And will people actually find what you? It's just ideas that you have. No one has a blueprint that says, okay, this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of put together some stuff, and we still remember when we quoted Tenet, and we actually got that first signed contract. It's like, what a feeling. We're like a real company now, And then it grew from there. Our second client, MTN, was great, and I still remember when we still had our first customer function. For it was a December customer function. We had customers, and we were able to afford a function, and it was such a big milestone,
Yes,
which was fun.
So, what's involved in network monitoring? What is this business actually entail doing?
So I suppose the easiest way to put it is the internet or networks are made up of devices and fiber links and circuits and routers and switches and data centers. So if you think of a typical picture of a data center is like this blue light with these rows of cabinets and cables and equipment. Now, network monitoring is we look at that equipment and lift data off that equipment and expose it in a very sort of easy to digest way.
Mm-hmm.
So we look for errors, and we look for problems on the networks. We look for problems on the servers. That's kind of what the software does. It's it's a real time system. It ingests a ton of data. To find any issues or congestion on the network and things like that. So when you click a button on YouTube or you want to watch Netflix, there's an entire network behind that.
Mm.
Iris has to look at all that data to make sure that that network providers can deliver that service to their customers.
Right. And the technology, is it developed here in South Africa?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So homegrown software.
Homegrown, wrote the first line of code, ran a dining room table, in Cape Town. That was February, 1st of February, sat around a dining room table, had a cup of coffee, and we wrote the first line of code.
Okay.
And we haven't stopped writing code. I don't write code too much anymore, which is a good thing, because I'm not really a developer. But
But you must have some nice intellectual property then inside the business.
Yes.
Is there an opportunity here to expand your operations into other markets where these services are required?
So absolutely. So we're now currently in 3 continents and plus minus 15 to 20 countries.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you've already expanded.
Yeah, we've expanded. Okay. And so we have a US, we call them Iris clusters, which is a cluster of servers and services in New York, Seattle, and Phoenix. We have in Australia. And we've got a big presence in South Africa and sub-Saharan Africa, Namibia, Botswana, and some of those countries. So
Interesting. Do you guys actually do the monitoring yourselves, or
provide the tool? So we just provide the tool, and the customer that our customer or client would then do the monitoring of their network and configure out and use our tool and configure the tool to be able to shape it to what they want.
So what does it actually allow them to do?
It allows them to see any kind of issues or errors on the network. It allows them to do capacity planning on the network. We kind of show graphs. We show real-time statistics. Generally, the consumer of our product is like network operation centers because, for example, you would have a large network provider in the country. They have a network operation center, which is generally like, a floor of people with big TV screens, and they're monitoring the network going up and down. That software that drives those screens is like an Iris-type software. Mm-hmm. So they use it for that kind of troubleshooting, and then we'll have management and executives will use the tool for reporting, executive reporting, analysis, SLA conformity, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So we provide all that data to be able to make those decisions.
Okay.
Because networks these days have got incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
There's lots of links all over the place, lots of technology, lots of different vendors in the space, hardware vendors, from SD-WAN networks to fiber networks to wireless networks. Networks nowadays are very complicated. You need a tool to be able to kind of remove that complexity from the operator. Otherwise, it's just too much information.
Okay. And presumably, you're able to help network operators then determine when there's a problem before the call center starts getting
correct. Slammed. That's the idea. That's the aim. It doesn't always work out that way, but that's definitely the aim. So because that comes into how we design the tool and some of the heavy IP that goes into the system is how to get this data quickly and as near real time and real time as possible and get the right information to the right people at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got a lot of information, a lot of data. What do we do with this data? How do we, create information out of this data to make it useful for the operator?
Yeah.
And that's an ongoing challenge.
So you must be dealing with quite a lot of data, and you must be able to learn things from these software tools.
Yes.
Are you applying machine learning and artificial intelligence?
Not yet. We do have a little bit of artificial intelligence and machine learning. In our space, it's a little bit difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Machine learning algorithms might get there eventually. It's on our product roadmap, and we have keep an eye on it. But we do have ingest a huge amount of data. Like, we're not talking about. We take data off the network, we put it into a relational database. That's like impossible. It's way too slow. Like,
right.
We've had to have customized tools. We've had to do in-memory stuff. It's a different kind of ballgame.
But there must be issues that occur on networks that are common across networks, and you can very quickly identify, well, this is the problem, this is probably how
absolutely.
You can solve it.
No, absolutely. And that's 100%. And we have those kind of algorithms built into Iris already. Obviously, the problem is that every network is slightly different. Every network does have its own kind of convention on how to do things.
Right.
And its own vendors. One would hope it would be just like stock standard, nice and easy. One network is the same as another network. We've seen this before, so it must be this problem. Unfortunately, it's not like that. It would be nice, but it's not like that.
So do you have to integrate with a whole multitude of vendors?
It's actually a good point. I would think that Iris is, I haven't seen another network management tool, network monitoring tool in the world that is able to integrate into as many vendors as we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because we have this like sort of African focus and built in South Africa, that if the tool was built overseas in the European American markets, you would integrate into like some of the big networking vendors like Cisco and Juniper. Everyone knows them, Cisco, Juniper, Arista, and those kind of guys. And that would be your stable that you would collect information from, because each vendor has its own way to represent its management data. And so you have to build these integrations per vendor. With Iris, we kind of support up to 270 vendors now. So, I mean, that's a huge undertaking.
Including the Chinese ones, which aren't used so much in the US.
Yes, 100%. So Huawei, ZTE, all that kind of stuff. We ingest all the data from all these things. And when we started with Iris, in the beginning, we said, okay, we're going to support Cisco, Juniper, all the big guys. And, after about 2 years, I would say we've kind of reached saturation on hardware vendors. Because, I mean, how many can there really be network hardware vendors? So I was thinking after 2 years, we'd stop writing these integrations and, you know, we'd be about 95% complete. 14 years later, we are still
doing it.
We are cranking out vendor integrations on a weekly basis.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. So it's, yeah. So because we find customers that, like, you know, import different hardware or the different technologies come out, and it's just it's a continuous, that surprised me a lot. I would never expect it.
Yeah. You must have quite a big dev team then.
We don't. So what we do, we don't have a huge dev team because we used to. When you have big teams and it gets complicated and it's, you know, people are fickle.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done recently, I think it's basically just before COVID or post-COVID, we've kind of reduced our staff down to like a very focused, highly technical team. So these guys are, you know, I like the idea of a very small sort of pods of teams, but highly technical and highly self-motivated. And that allows us to do a lot more than having, you know, sort of big teams that we can do all little things, but we actually don't get to the end goal. So I just found that recently with a nice, small, focused, highly technical team, we're able to crank out features and things much quicker and, you know, make decisions a lot quicker.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, good. Right. I want to spend the second half of this discussion talking about load shedding.
Oh, right.
So how many days have we been without load shedding? That must be about 70 or 75
Something
days.
Like that, yeah. Sure.
Touch wood by the time this podcast is published, we still don't have load shedding. But I imagine that it's had a big impact on network operators.
100%.
And I imagine that every time there's load shedding, the network operators are, I suppose a lot of them are backed up with alternative power solutions. But I'm sure there's still impact on network infrastructure. What are you seeing? What do you see when load shedding begins?
Yeah, so what happens is typically what happens like in one of our customers that are sort of a national ISP or a provider. When load shedding hits and you know, suburbs are switched off, the network operations center gets completely flooded with alerts. Like they just get this massive sea of red critical things that this this networking equipment is down, this interface is down, this customer is down. And now the problem is the operators don't know if it's down due to load shedding or down because there's a fiber break or they just don't know. And because there's so much flood of information, there's no way for them to tell. And then, you know, obviously in the next 2 hours, they might clear because they come up, but then the next cycle of load shedding. So it's just this constant thing. And then in that problem or in that sea of just alerts, you don't know if something actually critical has gone down because there's just too much information. So, I mean, you can just imagine how completely disruptive that is for any kind of ISP or network operator or even corporate that just has a lot of branch offices. I mean, you think of like Truist or one of these shops, you know, that have branches and have shops all over the place and these things are going up and down.
And I guess it makes it more difficult to see if there is actually a real problem happening because you're getting flooded with all this information about load shedding. But meanwhile, something else that's more critical may have happened on your network, which you perhaps don't have sight of.
Exactly.
Well, I see because of all the other messages that's coming into your system.
And then you're also spending time phoning remote locations to say, look, do you have power? Don't you have power?
Yeah.
I see you down. And then, you know, that just takes an enormous amount of
time and money. Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you guys help when load shedding hits?
So we had a lot of our customers ask us, like, can we do something about this? Like, is it possible? You know, we use Iris. We monitor the entire network with Iris. Is it possible to let us know if there's load shedding or not? And so probably a few months ago or halfway through last year, we started really looking at a way of presenting this kind of data to our customers. The engineering issue that we had is because we ingest so much data, we have these like real-time systems that have to process network information as fast as humanly possible. Now, if we insert a sort of a process into that flow of data that says we have to do a lookup, Is this device in a load shedding zone or, you know, do all that kind of stuff? We'll introduce so much latency into that process that you'll never know if there's, you know, it'll just be unusable. So it took us a little bit of time to figure out that engineering side, which was, I mean, quite proud of the fact that we actually sorted it out and was quite cool. And what we do now is we have an API, which is a application interface into the ESP app. So everyone has ESP app on their phone. So the ESP guys, great guys, they expose an API. So Iris talks to the API from ESP, and we get the schedule of load shedding. We then, in Iris, know that when the device is up or down, or when the network is or the node is up and down, we match that to the schedule, and then we just alert the user and say, look, this has gone down. It's inside the load shedding schedule. So we say it could be done due to load shedding. So now what they can do is they get this 5,000-10,000 alert, critical alerts coming through, but we can say we can mark 99% of them with a thing that says this is down due to load shedding, and they can ignore it.
Okay. So you can actually mark it as not critical.
Correct. Okay. 100%. And then they can focus on actual critical things.
Yeah.
And then when load shedding ends and the device is still down, we then remove it and say, look, there's something wrong here. The device is still on, even though they're out of load shedding. Yeah. So have a look at it anyway. It could be something else that's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the idea behind it.
So take us through how it's working in the field with your clients.
So in the field, there's basically how I explain. It really is. It's like they add some data to Iris to tell us what zone they're in, what zone the device is in, and we just look up and we tell them, and we reduce. So one of the drives of Iris this year is to reduce the amount of noise and events in the system.
Yeah.
And load shedding is another noise. We're trying to remove that noise to again, like what I said in the beginning, try to get that information.
Yes.
You know, get. Pull the information out to be able to make correct decisions.
Fascinating.
Now,
Alan, if anyone wants to learn more about Iris, what is your website?
Our website is irisns.com.
IrisNS.
IrisNS.com. Yeah.
That's short for Network Systems.
IrisNetworkSystems.com. And a lot of information is there. We have a link to our YouTube channel. I try to get some videos up there. It's hard, but there are some videos there. We have a LinkedIn page where we post a lot of our updates, and a lot of our software updates are there, and some of our new features, because we release features quite often. So that's all there.
Fantastic. You're clearly passionate about the topic. Alan Kemp is Director of Iris Network Systems. Thanks so much for sharing your insights with TechCentral today.
It's only a pleasure. Great to be here.
Thank you.